but then you keep digging and digging. Now, shock value. Let's talk about shock value. Now, imagine these fucking... Okay, going back to Kiss now.
No.
All right?
No. Couldn't stay awake, could you?
No. Think about this now. All right? No. Think about this.
No.
Think about shock value. Imagine the big reveal of Kiss now. They've got the same fucking avatars with the wings and the fire and fucking new hologram system come out. But they're fucking larger than life. They were talking fucking 12-story high fucking characters where it's like...
Yeah, Pacific Rim.
Pretty... Look, that. Yeah, look, that, man. That, imagine like that size, right? But they're playing for you now. Talk about shock value there, man. Like, people are like, what the fuck, man? Like, they're large, man. They're like god-like creatures singing to you. Imagine that kind of shock value.
Yeah, but there's shock value and then there's novelty value, you know. Which way is it going? Is it vaudeville? Is it, you know, which way are we going? You know what I mean?
Now, look, man, at some point, the flame will burn out for Kiss, whether they like it or not.
That's right? It.
They might be remembered in nostalgia, you know, whatever, but at some point, there'll be the last day anyone put the face paint on and listen to Love Gun. Like, it's just going to happen. Whether you like it or not. I mean, how many artists do you listen to from the turn of the century? And they were innovators.
Yeah.
They were innovators.
You know what I mean? Literally innovators.
Yeah.
You don't. You start remembering artists from like the 40s and 50s. That's pretty much where the replay value starts, when records and shit started coming out.
Mm.
A bit more mass-produced. Radio was more mass-produced. Elvis, you know, was the biggest marketable figure of the time.
I'm just thinking of playing Mafia the game and just listen to the radio, you know what I mean, from the 30s.
Dude, I love those soundtracks, man. Yeah. Like, they're all jazz-based.
Trumpet and fucking...
love them, man. Yeah. I could easily listen to the original Mafia soundtrack non-stop.
Yeah.
When I work at home, if I'm doing something that I need to actually focus...
Great game, by the way. I finished it. Fuck.
Did you?
Insane.
You need to play the original. Anyway.
Yeah.
When I do work at home and I need to actually focus on what I'm doing and it's not just, like, busy work, you know, whatever... there's only two or three genres of music I listen to. One is synthwave, vaporwave, and jazz. Like coffee shop, down-tuned, cool jazz. That's what I listen to. Because it's just laid-back, mellow, and you can just focus.
Need to do a jazz bar, man. Need to do a jazz bar.
I love it. Man, I used to go back in the day. Mm. There's heaps, man. There's the Parrots.
I'll put it on metal instrumentals.
Just palm-muted power chords. This is Pantera without vocals.
Oh, it doesn't have to be hardcore. You know what I mean?
Well, that's progressive metal. I know you're into progressive metal, man. Like, you just said your favourite concert's Tool.
Oh, mate.
They can't get more progressive at that era. Like, and man, Jose's Bucks, like 4 or 5 years ago, whenever it was, mate of ours got married, and we were out in Calesta, like out in the hills, and one of the boys at the thing, at the Bucks, is like, Dim, you listen to metal, yeah? I'm like, yeah, obviously. He's like, have you heard Tool's new album? I'm like, no. I didn't even know they were still together. It's like, yeah. Like,
it's great.
We went out to the car in the middle of the forest in the night, put it on, had our drinks, and just listened to, like, the first 3 songs. Incredible, man. Incredible. And I was never a Tool fan, like, to go above and beyond.
Not to turn this into a Tool thing, but the thing I love about their music was as their years have gone by, their music has literally evolved.
But that's the sign of a true artist.
Matured, that's the word.
Like a fine wine.
Their music has matured going with their age.
Well,
and their last album is exactly that, yeah.
One of my biggest, not regrets, but it's just something that I can't control, was that I didn't get to see Robert Miles live anywhere. Robert Miles, who did Children, right?
Yeah.
1996. Yeah. That song came about, I still remember reading about this because that's when I started making music. I've said this story a bunch of times. That song was created because in Italy at the time, in Milan and wherever else it was playing, there were a lot of roadside deaths due to people leaving clubs all G'd up at the end of the night, and there was a lot of accidents. They're like, well, we need to start mellowing out music in clubs, bringing the energy vibes down so people don't leave here like pumped full of adrenaline. He created Dream Trance and Dream House directly because of that. He started experimenting with his piano and all that sort of shit, and the first track he did was... one of the first tracks was Children. Smashed it. The biggest selling single of like 96 through Europe,
still
America.
Probably one of the biggest techno
kills
songs.
It, man. When you hear it at events now and they drop it, people will lose their minds, right? Dude, He was my direct first influence and inspiration for writing music and creating stuff, yeah? I followed his career to a T from, like, the mid-90s all the way through to, like, the mid-2000s, late 2000s, yeah? His music went from Dreamhouse and all that sort of electronic stuff. It went to, like, trip-hop and ambient soundscapes because it literally was him maturing. He did two albums with a jazz percussionist something from India. Yeah? The most diverse, eclectic sounds you've ever heard. You never would have thought this is the guy that made Children. Do you know what I mean? Ended up, he passed away from cancer in, I can't remember what year it was, but I would have always wondered. It was he came out of nowhere, got announced, didn't share it with anyone, and the world went into mourning, like lockdown. Every electronic DJ was out saying, this is insane. Like, this man has influenced two decades of music. Do you know what I mean? But exactly what you said, the sound has matured. He didn't go back to just playing piano with, you know what I mean? It was literally traversing a whole different environment, which is something that annoys me about this Kiss thing. Are they? That's why I asked the question at the very start. Are they recreating? Are they creating new songs?
Are they evolving? Are they maturing?
What's the evolution?
That's the unhold, man. So we don't know, man. We don't know if they're going to tour. They don't know if they're going to be a fucking Netflix series. We don't know nothing.
Do you know?
Other than there's these new four characters.
There's an artist.
Stay tuned.
Literally.
There's an artist that doesn't get enough credit, and he's always pops up like in the conversations of like the biggest influences in modern music and stuff like that. Do you know who is one of the most influential artists of all time in the modern day? Soulja Boy.
What?
Yeah. Because of him, it spurred the internet era of like going digital, of artists being able to just produce stuff out of their bedrooms and create this whole new lane of people coming up and internet marketability. His video went viral of him doing the dance, that Soulja Boy dance. He was the first true internet domain artist in 2006, 2007 when he went viral.
Thanks for fucking it up.
Nah, because of him, you wouldn't have digital avatars. He had a digital avatar.
I'm still standing by what I just said.
Nah, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, man. If it wasn't for him, you wouldn't have any of what you have now. The new domain and the new era that we're all appreciating. Streaming, online, all this shit. Music coming out in mass production, like, yeah, you know.
You know what Kiss is going to do next? They're going to have a live concert in Fortnite.
He's not wrong.
Imagine, man. You have to go in as a player and watch it.
He's not wrong.
Dude.
And they'll be in the background somewhere just playing.
Not far. VR.
And all the contestants. You get excited. And all the contestants, the players in the game, they're going to rock up as attending the concert.
Even better. VR subscription. Where you can literally just put on your fucking thing and you'll be in like some fucking volcano fucking scenario and they're literally around you.
Or like this meta world.
All you have to do is literally pay a subscription of $49.99. And you can watch it.
This is where you've just said it now because I don't even think about VR or Meta, like all that shit.
Yeah.
Kiss are that fucking cooked. They haven't even considered the technology that already exists.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They could be going
there.
No,
they're not because they thought they think they're inventing the wheel again. They're not. Mm. They're just adding it a plus, like an additional fee on the membership. That's what they're doing.
Kiss 1.66.
You just nailed it, boys.
Yeah.
Independent thoughts, and you're both connected on the same plateau because you were channeled in. Literally.
VR.
You said VR, you said Meta. It's like, that's right. The platform
I'll start already. Off with Fortnite.
The platform already exists, but these idiots think they're recreating the wheel. They think they're doing something innovative. To them, 70-year-old rockers, of course it's innovative. You can show them a Game Boy. It's like, oh, Game Boy. Do you know what I mean?
But, dude, straight out, VR.
That's the problem. It's dated technology, even coming out of the box.
$50, you can watch it, pay-per-view, put it on, and you're there, man. You're literally, they're singing just to you.
The weekend, my niece showed me. He's already got Fortnite avatars and stuff.
The weekend?
Yeah.
No, I don't rate The weekend. He's just, he's a watered-down version of...
He's in Fortnite. He's got... So, what they're thinking of doing already exists in other formats. Yeah. You know what I mean?
They're not doing that's anything all they're innovative. On.
Exactly.
Nothing.
They're just cashing in on something to try and, you know, take Dude, advantage of it.
How? I can't believe we got to the bottom of it.
100%.
That's literally it.
It was always about money. 100%
profit. They don't have to go anywhere.
Can you imagine Gene Simmons, like the demon, whatever, doing the dance? The Fortnite dance.
Oh, you're talking about the
flossing move.
The floss, yeah.
Dude, when he goes to attack you, he pulls out the torch and he goes, fine.
Yeah. Can you imagine, like, dude, literally, let's put money on it. How many years
Gene
till
Simmons is listening now?
He's just taking notes.
Well, this is good shit.
Keep going, boys.
Keep going.
How many months do we see Kiss in Fortnite? That's legit. That's actually legit.
Or GTA 6.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Gene
Simmons, at least, if not all of Kiss, will be in Fortnite.
Fortnite or GTA 6.
Well, did you see what he said when he was? I read that interview that he did that was at length, and the interviewer said, "Would you be given complete control over to like the next, like your intellectual property?
Yeah.
Would you be giving the reins over?" It's like, oh no, it wouldn't.
Of course
be.
Not.
We'd have the final say on everything. Like it's That's our product. It. In the end of the day, it's like, yeah, but you're 70, bro. You got 15, 10, 15 years, 20, like tops, right?
Or five.
Yeah. Are you going to be writing metal rock songs till you're 90? Like, give me a spell, man. At 90, even then, you're done. You know what I mean? And even he was too arrogant to say that they would ever sell the intellectual property. So then who's going to control it?
Kids.
Well, you're telling me his kids are songwriters now? To his ability?
Exactly, yeah.
It would go to Warner Brothers. And that'd be the end of it.
They'll probably buy Warner Brothers.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That in his feeble mind, what's wrong? 10. He's none in a pass.
No.
In his feeble mind, he thinks that he will be able to regain control like Vince McMahon, dude. Vince McMahon.
Well, he's doing the same thing.
He sold it. He sold his shit. Wasn't he? We've now at a point where now none of the original McMahons are involved in the stories.
Surprised that he didn't give it to his kids.
No, he gave it. Triple H is still the GM or the mad director or whatever it is.
They're just employees, though.
They're employees. Like, they're still maintaining integrity of the brand, but it's owned. He doesn't own the majority share anymore. And I don't think he's actively involved in storylines anymore either.
No.
But it had to happen.
He's joined the Adams family.
Storyline.
He's joined the Adams family.
Storyline.
Storyline.
He's
a sport.
He is a fucking
sport. He's got an Undertaker lunchbox, man, for sure.
But next to his ABBA one.
All too late.
Yeah, but yeah, even Vince McMahon had to admit defeat and pass the torch.
Mm.
You can't. You cannot maintain that same level of energy and brand integrity for that long, man.
No.
Unless you're lucky and it's a genuine family business and you hand it down and it still continues because it's a real family business because your kids are actually following on in your footsteps.
But they are.
They're literally...
Example, Wolfgang, you know, son of, you know.
Yeah.
He's different, but obviously he's talented and he's carrying on, you know what I mean? But if you've got kids that got nothing to do with your legacy... That's it. It's the end of it. You know?
And there's no harm in that.
No, like that's right.
Your legacy is yours. Jackie Chan said it about his kids or his son. I don't know how many kids he's got, but he said, I'm not leaving my fortune to them because if they couldn't make their own fortune on their own, what good is it leaving them this? I just piss it away anyway.
Mm.
Like he literally said that. Because I'm not leaving the bulk of it to them. They're getting something else is going to get it. And, you know, it's his money. He can do whatever he wants.
Right.
But if he hasn't got faith in his own kids to build their own legacy and identity, then what's the point?
No, 100%.
You hang on the laurels? Like, you see it all the time. You see celebrities and entertainers hanging on the laurels of, like, their priors. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that comes down to the old, when you do finally pass away, the old, you know, you don't take it with you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
But Gene Simmons is that cool.
Oh, yeah. He's going to build the pyramid. And he's going to have all his, you know, riches and everything and IP and everything, and he's going to have it buried with him.
Yeah, no shit.
In his sarcophagus.
Gene Simmons would be in his sarcophagus.
He's going to charge people to come and visit him.
Oh. He still has an account. He still has a bank account in his death.
That's it.
And he's somehow wired it to go to him. No one else.
Who else would do that?
Ultimately, when you look at it from every other angle, and we've just established the fact that the technology already exists in other formats.
Oh, 100%.
Man, that's all it is.
Aren't they even saying that they could almost back up your brain?
They're at that level.
Yeah. Where so you can kind of live forever.
Yeah. Have you seen any of the Black Mirror episodes?
It's too confusing.
If you get a chance, watch some. Mate, it touches on some.
Why do I see you with like
stuff.
A bong? You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's got that smiley face poster. You know the smiley face poster with the swirls?
His missus walks in. What are you doing, mate? This is fucked.
What? He's got literally Jaffers. Popcorn?
Jaffers!
Jaffers popcorn?
Al fresco juice bottle. bit of gun hose.
Yeah.
And a kick at Jaffers.
Why Jaffers,
the
man?
The best, man.
I saw him. 100%.
Dude, 100% Jaffers.
I can't imagine the rabbit hole. He's got like Tool or something playing in the background as well, man. Full, like, just intricate.
The octopus.
I've given you credit before on this pod, and I haven't seen you, nor to tell you or whatever, I just slipped my mind. But I remember once you said this at your house, we were listening to some black metal band, I can't remember what it was.
And you said, flesh.
Someone had asked you how you listen to this music, and you said, it's challenging. That's the whole point.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and I still hang on to that because metal
doesn't have to be intricate metal or anything.
No.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that comes back to, in a weird way, that ties into what we're talking about, integrity of music. If you know that these guys are challenging themselves and they're creating something, you appreciate it. That's the whole point.
Remember the Spider Chord came out? Everyone's like, what? And then they fucking followed that. Was that Mustaine that did that?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And then he played it, and they're like, I can never fucking play this, man. Like, yeah. But that was like, he gave a fuck.
You know, in the old days.
He gave a fuck.
In the old days when Eddie Van Halen first came out.
Eruption.
You know, there were the rumors of he was a bit shy and, you know, he was a bit protective of his stuff, you know.
Yeah.
He used to turn his back on stage to play his stuff because he thought, oh, I don't want guys ripping off my stuff, you know. Because what he brought out at that time, and everyone now, you know, has come out and said, you know, how much they love him and he was inspirational and that. It's true because he was creative, man, and it was challenging for him to play. It was challenging. You hear it and you go, wow, that's fantastic.
How does anyone do that?
Yeah. And I feel the same whether it's, you know, I hear bands play. It could be the drummer who's shit hot and playing some intricate stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Could be the bass player, could be the guitarist, could be the whole lot of them, could be the vocalist, whatever it is, or it could be the actual arrangements of the music, the songwriting, whatever it is. If it comes off as, obviously it's got to be pleasing to the ear in some way, but if it's challenging and intricate, that gets me every time.
I remember I was probably about 18 or 19. I grew up listening to like Dire Straits, the Stones, you know, because of the old man, right? Yeah. And my parents, like my mum as well. And I remember it was about 18 or 19 when I rediscovered Dire Straits, and I was listening to Lady Rider or Money. I think it was Lady Rider.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was in the living room listening to it through the old speakers, you know, the old
these ones.
Record. No. It was similar to this, like my old ladies. And she came in. I think my mum came in, was just talking about Dire Straits, and she goes, the cool thing about Dire Straits is that you hear them, and they sound like they're one instrument. Everything is in sync, the arrangement.
Yeah, I love Dire Straits.
There's no sloppiness. There's no overarching, anything's imposing on anything else. Every instrument is present and just fires at the right time. You know what I mean? You can go back and listen to those arrangements and it's incredible. It's like you said, challenging, yeah? Like Eminem. You can go back and listen to his verses and just break down the layers of intricacy when it comes to his vocal wordplay and arrangement of lyrics and style and all that shit. People are just reappreciating his stuff now, 10, 20 years later. Like, fuck, this... You know, this double entendre went over everyone's head. We only figured it out now. Do you know what I mean? That's when someone does something that special where you're looking at it like, Jesus, like, how did they come up with this thing?
Yeah.
Fucking Eruption, man. Remember that? Like, that was, like, mind-blowing. Like,
a lot of people know how to play it now and all that, but...
Well, it's still hard to play, man.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying a lot of guys do it, you know?
Obviously, I'm a metalhead and I'm into rock and all that shit, but do you know what the first guitar solo was that I fell in love with? I didn't even know who it was. I didn't know what it was. Take a guess.
Probably Greek.
Fucking metal, man.
Fuck.
I remember playing this. I remember playing it back as a kid off a vinyl and setting the needle back, like, Yeah. Every time the solo would end, I would set the needle back to listen to it again, and I was fascinated. I only figured it out like later on, like when I got older. I actually figured it out somewhere in 2005 when I was doing audio engineering, because I studied the song itself. Take a guess.
Metal.
What was the first guitar solo that ever like had me fixated?
So now you're talking about early years.
I was born in 84, so yeah. Use that as some context, yeah? What would I have been listening to?
How old were you?
I was young. I would have been... I figured out how to use a vinyl player when I was like 5 years old.
So late 80s. Was it a new song?
It wouldn't be a new song. It'd be considered like newish popular. Like it wasn't, you know, a 40s track or something. It was a guitar solo and it was a metal... It was a... Now that I think... Now that I hear it, it's a metal solo.
So it's not metal, but it's a metal solo. It's a trick. It's trickery.
I don't know. I give up.
Michael Jackson, Beat It.
Ah.
Eddie Van Halen. I used to listen to that solo and wish I knew how to play it. I had no idea what it was. And then, like, when I did audio engineering, I learned about how, like, you know, you can hear the engineer, like, knocking on it, comes in. That was all one take. Like, and only as an adult did I start appreciating Eddie Van Halen, because I'm like, fuck me. That was a full metal tapping solo. And then when you get on YouTube or Instagram now and you can find artists that play it, or, like, you know, just guitarists, musicians, you fucking appreciate it when one of them nails it, nails like every sort of, you know, and then you think, shit, this isn't even the real thing. Eddie Van Halen did it live in one take.
Yeah, it's insane, man.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was great, man.
You can't compare that talent to anything that AI may rehash, you know, or every
100%.
Every reinterpretation. It just doesn't work. Nate Dogg, right? King of like the hooks. King of, like, hip-hop and R&B hooks, yeah? His son is an artist now. His name's Nathaniel Enhale, something like Enhale, right? His son, his speaking voice, when he sings in low register, sounds like his father. But he's not his father, man.
Nah.
They're trying to push him. And it's like, dude, okay, it's cool, but I wouldn't buy his album. I wouldn't download it.
Nah.
I listened to a few of the songs on YouTube. I'm like, yeah, it's, I love G-Funk. Clearly, I got a Warren Corrupt and a... Daz Tat, but I wouldn't listen to Enhale. I love Nate Dogg, man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's, you can't beat originality when it comes to music.
Man, we all come to that agreement. It's just more the fear of what it's going to become.
That's a good point you said there about the fear. There's a little bit of fear about where's this all heading? Is it all going to turn into just manufactured crap?
Okay.
Or, you know.
There was a movie. I think about this movie all the time, but I can't remember the name of it. I can look it up. There was a movie in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s. I think it was late 80s.
Yeah.
Guy Pearce. It was some musician that was starting to use, like, electronic drum machines and shit. Movie, music.
Guy Pearce.
Yeah. Pierce. It's fucking...
Boom.
what movie is Guy Pearce? I don't know what it's called. I remember reading about it back in the day, right? And they did a review on it. Anyway, and there was people in the movie, like old heads, that had this doubt about him using modern technology to make music, you know? The music in the movie was terrible, right? But it all had electronic elements. They had this pushing this fear of like how computers were gonna take over what music sounded like, and you just punch a few buttons in and that would create the music. You can't. It creates gimmicky shit.
Yeah.
That might go viral on TikTok, but it doesn't create sustainability.
It won't stay.
It's not sustainable.
Yeah. Like a lot of these Netflix movies. It's a one burn. No, but it's true, man. It's a one hit wonder. They'll watch it and it'll be like, would you watch it again? Fuck no. Would you buy it on DVD? No chance.
You wouldn't invest more than you just invested.
Yeah. So that's what is it? Is music going to go down that path, or is everyone going to be scared to do music, to go down that path, because it means the music is going to be worth shit?
No, I think that innovation will always have a place in music, and if, like I said, if the world came back down to rubble, there'd be some dickhead playing Wonderwall to a group of people, yeah? And people would be
playing,
2 days gonna be the day, it's gonna ring out.
To you.
or they're gonna play Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd the Wall. I do, but now.
Oh, don't stop.
I said maybe.
No. That's just,
do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh,
I still believe that, like, because you see it every time as a reset, in whatever way. Dude, we were
Leave those kids alone. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun. Dude, think about COVID, right? There was a social reset with COVID. We were all in lockdown. What did everyone do? Start creating fucking music.
Yeah.
Mm.
Everyone started doing...
And doing, like, music with other band members.
Yeah.
And,
you know, one of the best things that came out of that, I watched...
other than Only Fans For You, yeah.
Yeah, other than Only Fans.
He's supporting the arts, man.
Random artists, right, collabing from, you know, even other sides of the world.
Yeah.
You know, like super groups, but they were only doing it to create...
For the fuck of it.
Yeah. Let's do a cover of this song. And there was some fantastic collaborations.
Yeah. You know why?
Like Fozzy came on board.
And I loved it.
Why? Because the incentive of going out and touring and playing these mindless gigs was gone. Yeah. They had to do something. They were bored like everyone else.
It was
else.
A creative outlet. Yeah.
How many
and
times?
Some fantastic stuff came out.
And how often are they going to walk around in their mansions, like, you know, looking at themselves? They've got to do something.
And that's the other thing. You're right. Because the thing is, even like, I think we found out that, you're going to laugh, but Slaughter and Lynch Mob are going to come to Australia. All right.
Yeah, for the glam fest. Glam fest.
The glam
fest. But like, I mean, man, the instant glam fest posted it. They posted it straight away in, like, 7 minutes, literally 7 minutes. Like, man, looking forward to coming to Australia. Like, it's like a holiday for them. You know what I mean? It's like, man, I'm looking forward to coming to Australia.
How old is George Lynch?
Oh, 60s.
Look, 60s? I've heard him. Yeah, I've heard him recently from, obviously not in person. He's still got it, man.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Are you talking about his guitaring or his looks?
Guitar. Guitaring.
So, and Lynch, you know Lynch Mob, right?
Like, yes. Weren't they on that West Stars?
George Lynch.
George Lynch was on Stars, wasn't he?
Fuck, I think he was, man.
I'm trying
him
to
and Don. Him and Don.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But as I was going back, like, dude, they guys, like, they reposted it straight away, looking forward to coming to Australia. Because at the end of the day, it's a free fucking holiday too. So I'm hoping... That kind of shit is still around due to the fact because they want to visit other places. They want to see people's reactions when they see them on stage. People, like, literally, that's what they feed off, you know. And as, you know, as Kiss said, when they're going on stage and putting on their wall makeup because they're putting on the makeup and they're seeing people there, seeing little kids fucking loving their music, they still get that and they feed off that
Look,
energy.
So I have no doubt that somewhere in their deep, dark souls, Kiss enjoy touring and enjoy, like,
Performing,
they did it for 50 years. You can't
talk about a total circle.
You can keep a charade up like a marriage for 50 years. You can't keep a tour up like a band, right? You can't. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, this guy's talking like a fucking nerd, man.
I'm just saying, right? Like 50 years is a long fucking time to be touring with two other dickheads, right? Do you know what I mean? That's somewhere in the recesses of their souls, they enjoy playing music.
Oh, dude,
they enjoy it.
They're going to miss it, like, hard.
They will. Because the adoration that they get.
Yeah.
Like, when they go to a gig, yeah, how much was it meet and greet? How much was the ticket?
Like, almost a K.
A K, right, for a meet and greet. How many fans do you reckon they sat there in front of?
A few.
A few. Whether that was, like, chump change to them, as in, like, a big percentage went to their management, you know, covered, like, whatever.
Yeah.
It would have covered touring costs, you know, by the end of the tour. Their accommodation would have been paid for just from those, you know, meet and greets. I'm sure they don't enjoy standing there in their shit for, like, an hour.
Yeah, I saw some of those pictures. Yeah,
that would be rough.
The fans are in the front and you got Gene in the back, like...
Yeah, like, you can't be fucked, right? I totally understand it. But, motherfucker, you offered the service... You put that tack on your ticket fee, and we're the dickheads paying for it. So dance, right?
Like dance, bitch,
dance, motherfucker.
That's
dance.
Just how it is, right? When I walked in front of them, I turned around, and that's the thing. You don't get to say anything to them. Like the rule is, you walk in, your back is to them, and then you walk out.
That's it.
Well, get fucked. Like this is my one chance.
I might as well have statues sitting there, and you just
bring
in
that
stand
cardboard
in front of
cutout.
Them.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Or bring in the ringers. Bring in the what are they called? The people that stand, the stand-ins. Bring in a stand-in to do it. What's the big deal? Right? And I said, fuck it. So I turned around and faced them. I said, guys, use a fucking gods. Right? Paul Stanley, smiled. And he's like, thank you. And he just laughed. And so did Singer, right?
Yeah.
And I go, you guys are fucking welcome, man. And I walked out, right? They're going to hear that every fucking day, every single time. A chick will walk in there and flash them. Yeah. How many tits are they going to see? Yeah? But somewhere it tickles it that nerve.
Ego. Oh, dude.
That ego.
Yeah.
That serotonin hit.
I remember fucking meeting Gene Simmons at, and this is the first time I met Gene Simmons.
The first time you met him.
Staten Island.
The second time, the judge was very book specific. Signing.
Staten Island, New York's book signing, man. He was there. I went to bought a book. I'm like, fuck, I'm going to meet Gene Simmons for the first fucking time.
That's nice. Right. Pretending you can read to meet a singer.
But dude, like I rocked up there and I was fucking nervous as fuck. Anyway, I took a photo and he turns around to me and goes, you know, you are an attractive, a powerful, attractive man. And I walked off. He obviously says this a lot to a lot of people, right? But that's what his thing is.
That's what he says to all the men.
But dude, yeah. That fucking, like that is like just stapled in my mind now. It's like, dude, like this guy said that to me, you know what I mean? Like it just means a lot from person. Not a fucking avatar telling me this in front of me.
I'll give you one as well. You know this story, I'm pretty sure. You wouldn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
G3. We'll close on this. How long are we doing this? But yeah, nearly 3 hours, all right? We'll close on this G3, one. G3, right?
Yep.
G3, Petrucci, Vi, Satch.
Yeah.
I've gone to the gig, and me and another guy, who I only met that night, right, through other mates, we said we're going to hang around and see if we can meet them out the back of the, is it the Regent? I think they played in the city.
I think it was. So you just met the same one.
So you met someone and you said, do you want to meet me in the back?
Yeah, exactly right.
That's exactly right. Okay, yeah, please don't tell me the story.
I know I just met you, but let's hang out the back in the alleyway until 4 a.m.
Yes.
When you're getting sleepy.
Now breathe in deeply.
We don't condone date rape drugs. Anyway, listen. So we said, let's go hang out the back. They're going to exit out the back alleyway, like whatever, right? So there's a bunch of us all fucking hanging out, like all types, yeah, old, young, whatever.
It's going to take some good play.
Satch comes out and is in the driveway of the Regent, and he's just getting ushered straight into a car, right? Me and another guy caught wind of it, and we're just like running. Satch! Okay, we don't want to keep you up, man, but could you just get a signature? I had like a bootleg G3 t-shirt that I bought for $20. Yeah? Still got it.
Frame that shit.
I know. I'm thinking about it. I found it the other day in one of the old boxes. Frame it,
man. It'll be sick.
So, yeah. It's somewhere here. Yeah, why not, huh? So, he signed it. I just got a quick photo with him, and we left, right? I think I might just got a photo of him. I don't even know if I got a photo with him.
Yeah.
And we leave him, right? Petrucci didn't come out the back. Like, we didn't see him. And we're waiting. And finally, like at, 2 a.m. or something, 1:30, like late, finally, Vi...
the hippie came out.
Billy Sheen, the bassist, like all of Vi's band comes out of the back, right? So we're sitting there, we're just talking, all this sort of shit. Billy Sheen was holding a wine glass. That's why I remember it. I've got a photo of him with a fucking red wine glass talking to us, right?
Yeah.
And I've got Vi, right? And we're sitting there. And... I said to him, man, you got to hear this. And I played something off to him off my phone, right? And he goes, that's pretty good. I go, yeah. He goes, who is it? I go, are you fucking kidding? I go, that's you, man. He goes, what? I go, that's you, G3, Satch Malmsteen, rocking in the free world. That's your solo in the middle of it. It's my favorite fucking lead break solo ever. I go, that's my alarm tone, man. And he's like, oh, I'm pretty fucking good, aren't I? And I started laughing,
sick,
right?
That's sick.
And then he tells me this story about how he goes, I walk into like my son's room sometimes, or I walk past like my son's hallway, and I'm hearing him fucking around with some music in his bedroom. And I sit there and I stop and listen to it, and I get jealous of what he's listening to because it sounds really good. He'll go in and say, son, what the fuck are you listening to? And his son will look at him like, that's you. That's your album from 2001 or something. And it catches him off guard. I'm like, we're talking, whatever. and right at the end before he leaves, he goes, but. And he goes, so anyway, thanks for that though, man. I appreciate it. I said, appreciate what? Because, having my solo like in your phone as a ringtone, man, he goes, that means a lot to know that people are like appreciating it on that sort of level. I go, dude, thank you. I go, you're fucking Steve Vai. Yeah. You're responsible for some fucking killer music. He goes, he goes, all love. Like, thanks a lot, man. Like, appreciate it. And moved on. You can't get that from a hologram.
No.
Nah.
Never will.
You know what else you can't get from a hologram? Sick country.
Hold up.